You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow with Greg Davies, who's the head of wealth at Kratos Capital, speaking to us from his palatial penthouse very close to Sandton City. Greg, you took the afternoon off.
I wanted to try this thing that these millennials talk about. It's called working from home, I must say.
I'm familiar with that.
I can see the benefits, really, of sitting here. Yeah. It's a very, very hot day in Johannesburg today. I've got the air conditioning pumping and watching a bit of TV and doing a bit of trading. It's been a wonderful afternoon.
Yeah, exactly. Can I tell you something about working from home? If you're easily distracted like you are, and I am, it doesn't work, because I work from home every day and I'm all over the place.
I couldn't do it every day. Nah. I just thought Wednesday afternoons would be a treat.
Okay, I just want to pick up on one thing which is intensely personal between you and I, and it's obviously quite self-indulgent because people are listening to this and hoping to get your wisdom on the market moves today. But you sent me a couple of tweets today. Obviously, you're working from home, otherwise you wouldn't have the time to send me this rubbish. It says here, you saying you want a team of intellectuals to run countries, not elected, question mark. Well, firstly, I would point out that that's a statement, so it doesn't need a question mark. Secondly, you say, I think your sound engineer edit it badly. You first sound against Brexit, in the end, pro-Brexit. I have to say, you're talking about the interview I conducted yesterday with that fine fellow from ETM Advisors, whatever they're called, in Lambert, the Western Cape, Russell Lamberti, a brilliant fellow. Lambert. And we had a good, not intellectual, because I'm not intellectual, but he is, a good exchange of views, let's put it that way. And you have completely misinterpreted it.
That happens.
What are you trying to say about me?
I spoke to a mate of mine, the Dutch embassy, and he said, you don't have to worry. They're not going to throw you out. It's at least the 31st of January. You've got to look for a place in the UK.
I have got a letter that says I can stay here until the end of July. I've got a letter in front of me right now from the Dutch authorities. I've got all that time. But why did you say that I was pro-Brexit, having been anti-Brexit?
Yeah, right. I was distracted. I was going through all the pods and just making notes. I thought, let me try and wind Lindsay up a little bit here.
I think go back to work.
Yeah, I think so. Well, you see, you can't play pods because then Ronnie says, turn that down, Digger, and I've got another millennial that's over the desk from me telling me to be quiet.
Greg, let's have a look at the Stock Exchange News Service announcements today. There was something with Capitec. I've just spoken to Wayne McCarry. We spoke about Capitec and Mercantile Bank. Do you remember Mercantile Bank? Maybe still has a big building very close to Sandton City, very close to the Gau train station in Sandton. Is it still there? Do they still do business? But Capitec has obviously acquired
it. Yes. We've finally sort of done the last of the dots and T's on crossing things. But the building is still there. I figure that somewhere in the $3 billion. So it's interesting that Capitec, sort of branching out more into, that's more of a business bank. Quite a few mates have had bank accounts there, and I can remember irate phone calls and things. Some didn't sound like the admin was that strong, but certainly strong in the business space. And I think, but perhaps Capitec are, and I'm sure Wayne have more insight than me, but trying to get to those businesses have got people working for them, and to try and get to those people as customers, perhaps offering these wonderful loans which they do offer.
As you get older, Greg, and things pop up on your screen, does it really annoy you when it pops up on your screen and you have to get rid of it?
Yeah, it happens a lot. That happens a lot.
Let's have a look at the Stock Exchange News Service. Apart from that Capitec and Mercantile Bank announcement, I'll come up with one thing here, Greg, which is going to test your mettle to the extreme. I was trying to look at it earlier on because, I always try to Raven Property Group. No, that's not the one. There was something else. There was one. Go Life. No, it wasn't that one. Trellidor. No, we all know about that one. New Park. Short form announcement, condensed audited results, New Park REIT Limited. Any idea?
You see, I don't have the systems which I have at the office.
So you've never heard of New Park, in other words?
Never heard of it. I mean, we should do a show on things we've never heard of. And I've only been doing this for 30 years. Yeah. It is a REIT. It last traded at R5. There's no sellers. So it didn't trade today.
That's a good sign.
It's market capitalization of 500 million, but that's presumably, you don't know where the next ship is. But I think at some point the JSE decided you know, resources were coming to an end, and we'd be a home for all the REITs. And we've got a ton of REITs which don't trade. I'm not sure how that really helps us, but not one which comes across on the ticker much.
Trustco has been on the upside and the downside for quite a while now, and when we go to the top five and bottom five performers on the JSE, and it's come out with its operational update, insurance and its investments property division. That's come out today, the share price at 1%. So maybe that sort of tells you why, to a certain extent, that there's been a little bit of activity there.
Yes, I mean, the share did trade up at R9.60 by the close. That sales announcement came at a 10 to 5, so that's just as the market was going into the closing auction, so perhaps people didn't have time to go through it carefully. Quite a wide double. In other words, the buyers are sitting at R8.40, the sellers at R9.60. Market cap, the came in of 11 billion. But it seems to just have... definitely has its detractors on Twitter, you know, the financial Twitter guys and traders, really. So it's a difficult animal to understand, mostly in Namibia-based assets. But it seems like a mishmash of all different types of businesses.
Okay. Speaking of mishmash, let's have a look at the swap prices. The rand is 15.21 against the US dollar. The British pound against the rand is 18.60. The euro rand is 16.71. The euro dollar is 109.80, and it's been there for a long time. We're into the fourth day where it's been just below that 110 level. If we go to the gold price is up $1.50 to 15.07.5. The platinum price is 8.93, which is up a couple. So not much going on there on the currencies markets or on the precious metals markets. Brent crude oil price, $59.48 per barrel, up 84 cents or nearly 1.5%. And if we have a look at the United States, with the Dow Jones falling over 300 points last night, it has displayed its bounce back ability by currently being up 105 points, so raising a third of the losses from last night, in nominal terms anyway, up 0.4%. The S&P is up 0.6, and the NASDAQ is up 3/4. DAX up nearly 1%, FTSE up 0.25%. Some sort of hope, I think, there that there's been a concession from the European Union or the Eurozone or whatever body you care to mention towards Boris Johnson and his idiotic proposals. And it goes on from there, Greg. But bounce back, but not a big bounce back.
Yeah, and there were some stories which sort of boosted the market sort of mid-morning. You know, these type of murmurings that you get out of China and out of the U.S. side, that they're prepared to do a deal even if it doesn't include the tech, and that pushed the gold price briefly lower and caused a bit of a rally. But as you were saying yesterday, the market's starting to get a bit fatigued by all of these stories bumping the market up and down, nothing really concrete to materialize. And I fear that we're in for a very, very long period of protracted negotiations between the US, China on these tariffs. You know, they sort of word the thing like it's any minute now the deal will be done. I think it's years away.
Well, it's been 3 years? I know it's been more than 3 years for Brexit, but I can't quite work out when the trade thing started. I think it's almost 2 years now. But anyway, whose side would you be on? If you were a betting man and it's a chess game between Kasparov and some new pretender, who would you be backing, the new pretender or the grandmaster?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I'm firmly in the Trump camp, if that answers the question.
Let's move on now to because it's not the answer I wanted to hear. I'm with Xi and his team. Most viewed shares, Sibanye, up 3.5%. Steinhoff, never mind them. DRD Gold was much higher this morning. It was 7.88 when I saw it at 9.30 when we were on the opening. It's up 1.5% anyway on the close. And Sasol down 1.3%, 266.20. Not much to get our teeth into there, Greg, apart from Sibanye over 25, because I can remember 5 weeks ago it was almost 10 Rand per share less than it is now. And that's a really big percentage move.
Yeah, something like 40% up from those September lows. I mean, we're only the second week of October. So, and there was, interesting enough, a SENS announcement on Sibanye today. Mr. Froneman is the CEO putting on a collar, the right to sell if it falls below a certain level for about 100 million Rand. So, but, traders were making a big fuss about it. I was just saying it's probably just sensible, really, especially when the share price moves like that. I don't see anything too cynical in that. And he's got, he's got no control over the gold price of palladium or platinum. He's just got to turn up the office and do his best.
If you were his personal wealth manager, if you were his investment bank, I mean, you'd be knocking on his door every day and saying, by the way, Neil, if you do this, 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 and this, it's very prudent because this, and then he's rubbing his hands and saying, I've just earned 2 million commission.
Yes, it's one of those. And I mean, big clients out there, you know, they do get pestered. And generally, people come with very, very good ideas.
Oh, yeah.
It would be sensible. I'm not sure what his total exposure is, but I mean, you can't have all your assets in something like Sibanye. He's got obviously indirect exposure, indirect, because I mean he's paid a salary to turn up there every day, and I'm sure he wants to lock in some of his recent gains.
See if you can spot the trend here. The top five major movers on the JSE Securities Exchange today are as follows. Sibanye up 3.5%, Anglo Gold Ashanti up 2.8%, Kumba Iron Ore up 2.8%, Anglo Platinum up 2.4% and Goldfields up 2.4%. I think all of those companies dig stuff out of the ground, so that's very encouraging for a country that is essentially a consumption-led economy.
When I was back to the future, it could be 1985 when, you know, resource counters dominated. You know, no one had heard of nice pants. But yeah, it's lovely to see all of those. Yeah, usual suspects lining up at the top on the top of the board there.
It's not in the bottom five. It's not in the top five. But talk to me about Naspers. Was it down today? I think it was.
Yeah, I was just saying to a client, we bought, you know, before the split, and really it hasn't done anything dramatic. The first few days it was up. It's down 0.75%. That's 2,240 rand. Even the volume was reasonably big today. But it's early days, but certainly the dream that we were sold is that, you know, it would be a massive unlock. The process would then close the gap to the discount to the 10-cent holding. And, you know, obviously being listed in Amsterdam, you'd attract a whole new set of investors and fresh capital. But it really hasn't materialized. Perhaps I'm being too impatient, but... You know, back in the day, you should have bought the dips on Naspers. It hasn't been the case post the split.
Greg, let's have a look at the bottom five. I can see Exxaro there, and that's obviously an ex-div story.
Yeah, that paid out a dividend of 17 rand, and it's exactly 17 rand and 6 dollars. That is almost to the cent, which is unusual, the dividend.
12.8% weaker at 120 rand and 3 cents. I think it is. Hyprop down nearly 6%. Truworths, yeah, I mentioned this morning, and I mentioned a couple of times over the last 2-3 weeks, Greg, about Truworths being a slow train crash, if you like. It keeps on going down. Truworths down 5.33% today.
Yeah, that one was hit, and I've got a few phone calls from some institutional guys saying, have you heard any reason why these stocks are under pressure? Something similar on Foschini, that was down 3.6%. Just look at the other clothing, look at Mr. Price, down 2.2%.
Wow.
But if clothing retailers, look, I mean, the explanation that you get most often is, oh, no, well, there's a basket, you know, which has got exposure to SA Retail, and somebody wants to get out. You know? But they seem to be going about it quite aggressively. Did you fall off your bike there?
No, I just dropped my pencil. But thanks for asking.
Back on your bike.
Yeah, TFG down 3.75%. And just thanks for asking. Yes, my hip and my elbow are healing very nicely. Thank you very much indeed. Greg, what were we talking about? Yeah, the retail stocks.
The retail is all low, yeah.
Yeah, I spoke to Mike Schussler, an economist at economist.co.za. He sent me a couple of very interesting graphs regarding energy, electricity usage in South Africa, and also world trade, which has fallen off a cliff. But also we spoke about the transactional index with which he is associated. And it just shows that people are not transacting. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's not a big index, it's not an important index in the big scheme of things, and it's volatile. But what it does say is that people are transacting less, and therefore if they're transacting less, they're spending less, which is not good for the retail sector.
Yes, you get that feeling. And I mean, we speak so often about on the pod about how, you know, how difficult the local economy is, in a difficult space really. And you know, saying walk around Sandton City, you see a lot of stores which are sort of not boarded up, but, you know, a sign up in the window saying, you know, something glamorous is coming any minute. That never seems to come. So they're definitely going through a difficult patch.
Great. Give us the closing JSE indices on this third day of the trading week, excuse me.
Yeah, it's Wednesday. Yeah. The It's got a new screen. I'll have to bear with me a second. There we go.
That's all right.
So the banks up 0.25%, financials down 0.33%, retailers we spoke about, they're down 2.26%, industrials up 0.5%, gold miners up 2.75%, plats up 2 and a bit, and the resources up 0.15%. That left the all share down 0.35%, 193 points lower, 54,339. I must say, volume really, really low, 16 billion. And if you take away, I mean, let's just do NASPAS, which I think was, about 1 point, nearly 2 billion. And Prosus, let's have a look there, that was 648. So, I mean, without those two, it would have been even lower.
Okay, my quote for the day comes from Boris Johnson. I'll give you a couple, actually, because he's sharply in focus. There is some sort of rumour going around, perpetrated by the Times in London, that there's going to be some sort of conciliatory chat in the next few days between Boris Johnson and the other leaders. I don't believe a word of it. But anyway, his most famous quote was talking about his chances of being Prime Minister a couple of years ago. He says, "My chances of being Prime Minister are about as good as the chances of finding Elvis on Mars, or my being reincarnated as an olive." If he was reincarnated as an olive, then at least he would be useful and people would like him. But
I love Boris. And I mean, obviously that's tongue-in-cheek. I mean, that's clearly you just looked at him all those years ago and he did Prime Minister.
He says, unemployment, he says, "What I worry about is that people are losing confidence, yes, losing energy, yes, losing enthusiasm, yes, and there's a real opportunity to get them into work." Well, he's not doing that, that's for sure. On cake, is my policy on cake is pro-having it and pro-eating it, and this is the person that is the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. Greg Davies is the head of wealth at Kratos Capital in Johannesburg, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com, made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.